Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's 4/16/2019, the day after tax day.
I know. Are you happy?
It's time to disrupt.
It is time to disrupt. What, you sad? Are you happy? Tax day is gone. It was immaterial. What?
I just had to put a check in the mail. I'm fine.
Oh. I got to tell you something. I lucked out this year.
Why?
With some of the new tax code, it seemed to really benefit me.
Yeah? So, you don't own a lot of property then?
No, it wasn't property so much. I think it was the business and a few other things. Just really everything clicked pretty well. So I actually made more money this year and paid less taxes. Hmm. That's the way it should be. No?
Well, that's the way to go.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the things we're going to be talking about this evening. Earnings season is underway. Banks reporting somewhat better than expectations, but some drops after the results, although J.P. Morgan rallied. President Trump warns and wants changes at the Fed. Tiger wins the Masters. That was awesome. Golf stocks rejoice. And we're going to talk about a story about someone who passed out at the wheel.
Oh, who?
You want me to tell you now? It was the Trivago guy.
Trivago guy. Oh, and, that guy.
Yeah, he was found. We had this at the end of the discussion. But he was found at the he was found passed out with his foot on the brake in a moving lane of traffic. He failed the sobriety test, but he did submit to a blood draw. So, poor fellow. I guess it's, tough representing hotels, motels, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you probably get a lot of free rooms.
Yeah, he's probably also had a, popularity problem. Everybody wants him to say those words. Like, who was the guy? What was his name? Let's get ready to rumble.
Oh, yeah, which is copyrighted.
Everywhere he went, everybody's like, oh, just say it. Just say it. Just say it.
Well, I think the old lady who said, where's the beef? Mario had the same problem.
Where's the beef? That was a good commercial. That was Wendy's, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was Wendy's. Let's talk about the markets for a second here. The week ends positive. We had a big day on Friday. And it was what we've seen before, this kind of week that comes in strong, wavers throughout the week. Then all of a sudden Friday, everybody gets pretty excited about, I don't know what, maybe that there's going to be an announcement of something over the weekend. And all of a sudden, people are happy-pappy. Buying up on Friday to end the week on a positive note where, I don't know, maybe 1.5%, 2% maybe, give or take, from the all-time highs of the markets. For the S&P 500, Dow, and NASDAQ's getting awfully close. And earnings are coming in. And it looks like to me that nobody cares about the earnings because several of the earnings that have come in so far have been, I would say, weak. Netflix tonight, we're going to talk about that in a second, was okay in terms of their earnings and a beat, but their outlook was really gross.
Stock. Yeah, but isn't their outlook just dubious, whatever it is they say?
Yeah, but they cut their outlook by like 40%. Mm. So maybe they're sandbagging. Maybe they're talking about a few things. The interesting thing is that I guess people are just looking past this saying, you know what, they're saying this, but we want to buy stocks anyway. I mean, it's clearly, let's just buy stocks out there. That kind of, all right, well, we're going to buy stocks. That's
insanity.
What's happening. Yeah, it's just, it doesn't matter. We're just going to buy stocks because, you know what? It's not today. It's not tomorrow. It's not next year. It's the next 5 years that we care about. And stocks will probably be higher. So who cares what price they're at now? That's what it looks like to me.
Well, what do you do in those circumstances?
You buy stocks. You buy stocks, yeah. We have some concerns about stocks.
Way of getting out in case something bad happens.
Yeah, there's some concerns.
That's the problem, it seems to me. The real problem is getting out.
Well, the problem is you don't want to ever get out because if you have this view, you're just going to buy when it goes down. You'll never get out. And history has shown that that's the right thing to do, isn't it? I mean, markets.
Well, if you look at the long-term growth charts of the Dow and these other indexes, and you just look at them from whenever. And if you try to make sure you don't pay any attention to the fact that these indexes have been altered and changed and weighted and futzed with, so you don't really know anything, Yeah. Bye.
I wrote a piece that I'm going to put out tomorrow. And I have it in my hand, actually. It's called, well, this is my quarterly economic commentary and review. And we look forward and kind of look a little backwards. And one of the articles that I wrote, one of the pieces I wrote, you know, write two or three different items, is, let's see, what do we call it? Market mechanics. And it's all about the discussion of art versus science and investing, which really is the number one way to invest. You know, do you want to have, is art the winner? Is science the winner? And there's a couple of definitions in there. But I also brought up a third item, which is this whole market mechanics, which is the constant buying due to pensions. I won't give it all away, but that's really what's going on right now, is the mechanics behind the market is what is pushing everything higher and causing for these, you know, people say, it doesn't matter what the earnings are. It doesn't matter what's going on. It's all about simply this whole idea that there is a future out there and I'm going to be investing.
And the future is up.
Future is up, up, up. Yes, it is. That's what they're thinking. But at the same time, there are some concerns about stocks being a bit overextended, valuations getting a little bit stretched into this earnings season. And there's going to be, if in fact earnings season stays as it has, and there's been some beats, but generally speaking, you know, year over year, earnings are down. You know, we're seeing some really good numbers from CSX come out, the transportation company. United Airlines, interestingly enough, is doing very well. They don't have a lot of exposure, I guess, to some of the problems that are happening right now with the Boeing 737 MAX. But IBM, we'll talk about that in a second, Netflix. You know, there is some notes of sourness that are there. Speaking of which, food items, we haven't talked since my Foodie Freaks event last week.
Mm.
You saw that menu, right?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I don't remember it.
Oh, sure. This is with the balut. I had the
I remember the balut.
Beef heart tartare.
You know, my kids got a thing about baluts. My daughter mainly. And she said that we found a source for baluts at an Oakland farmer's market. And there's this Chinese guy selling them. They were $1.50 a piece. They weren't that much. And they're chicken baluts. Mm-hmm. Now, you might as well explain to the people listening in what a balut is.
So basically a balut, B-A-L-U-T, is a bit Asian dish. It's an egg. It's either chicken or duck. I happen to have duck. And what they do is they take somewhere between an 18-day-old duck that was formed inside the shell.
Or chicken. Yeah, chicken.
Or chicken. And it's formed inside the shell and it's cooked. And then the shell.
The little animal inside the shell is cooked.
Yeah. And, well, you put in lobster.
Call a hatchling.
Yeah. And what they do then is they season it and they do some stuff to it. Basically, they crack the top open. And from there, what you do is you take it and you put a little bit of salt on the top, a little bit of sauce. And then you just drink the juice, the yolk, whatever's left over from that. And then you just bite, you just peel the shell and just bite and eat the baby.
It just grosses me out. So my daughter decides, her and her boyfriend, or fiance actually, have to have these baluts. And I'm shopping with her. She said, "You want one?" I said, "No, I don't want one." He said, "You like to eat everything. You can eat this thing." I said, "There's a lot of things I do like to eat. This is true. I'm very eclectic. But for some reason, a balut is not on my list." And so she said, "You must have had one when you were in China." I never had a balut, believe me. So they get the balut, and she follows the instructions. She did make a mistake. She followed the Chinese guy, and I don't remember exactly what he said, but he had a cooking time. And I think it was like 6 minutes or something. But the internet had like twice that much time. And so she used the internet time instead of the Chinese guy. And the thing was overcooked and tough.
Oh.
And so I can't imagine. But it was gross. It was just gross. It wasn't something – I don't know. I'm pretty not squeamish about things. But this was too much.
I mean, it was a little bit much for me too, and I'm pretty adventurous. The monkfish liver dish was a little bit much for me. I'll tell you, the one thing that really got me was – there was a tuna bloodline taco. So they took the bloodline out of the tuna, which is, if I catch fish, I throw that out because it's irony and nasty.
Yeah.
And they did something to it and toughened it up and put it in these like bib lettuce tacos. No. But the dessert was good, which was a lobster cheesecake.
Which is about time you get to something different, interesting. Monkfish liver is a very high end delicacy in Japan.
It was very rich. It was really
intense. Yeah, I don't think I could
intense. Stomach it. And then the dessert though was good. Like I said, it was a lobster tail, and stuffed inside the lobster tail was a lobster cheesecake, and on the side of that was a squid ink gelato. That was set upon a lemon cookie that was shaped and painted to look like an oyster shell.
Oh, now see, that sounds like a good, or at least interesting dish.
Yeah, that was interesting. But the other stuff, there was some things that were definitely funk. I'm sure I missed something, but that was my Foodie Freaks dinner. I put the menu up on the Twitter. Yep. Anyway, let's talk back again about markets. Let's get back to this point here and look at economics, the eco. Inflation was picking up. We saw last week that PPI and CPI came out, and I thought I'd throw up a chart here. You can see that we're still seeing – listen, inflation is still under the, quote, 2% prescribed level. That's going to be a problem, and somehow magically the central banks came up with this number, which seems to me like a number that they can't hit as the number to give themselves cover. So they have this 2% level. And it's not there yet. However, PPI, the producer price index, came in pretty hot last week, somewhere around, I think, like 4.5-5% annualized. So we're not seeing much inflation yet, which is giving the Fed and the investors a whole notion that they can continue to invest and not have any problems, you know? I mean, do you see a lot of inflation?
Gas prices have gone to $4 here in California.
Wow. That makes sense with the price of Earl, which is now at $64.40.
Well, it also makes sense with the fact that the state government jacked up the gas tax because the other gas tax was being stolen. So instead of fixing the problem, they just added more tax.
Now, isn't California getting kind of a windfall of taxes between all the taxes that are being paid on all the massive profits that those that are working in tech companies in Silicon Valley and all that are making? And on top of that, what about all the taxes and all they're collecting from marijuana? Am I missing something in California, or is it just don't care?
The money gets stolen.
From
this
everywhere.
It's a very corrupt state.
It's very sad. I mean, it seems like the more they build, the more they want to tax you, it's so upside down and backwards. I don't understand it. And then, we're going to fix the roads. Okay. But we have to float another $250 million bond in order to fix the parks. I'm like, why are you doing that? They're building a new police station here. $150 million to build a police
station. What's wrong with the old police station?
It looks like crap. It just
so what?
Inside is
crap. Gussy it up.
I'll tell you, the problem with this police station in Fort Lauderdale is that, besides it looks bad, they have no room for their evidence anymore. They are renting out. It was built for 100 people to work there. 700 people work there. So they outgrew the space.
All right.
All right, moving along. Notre Dame Cathedral, terrible, very sad.
Yes, terrible.
Did you watch Tiger win the Masters?
I watched the Saturday round.
Very exciting. Very exciting. President Trump's going to give him the highest civilian award.
For what? Hitting the ball?
What is he getting? He's getting the highest. He's giving him whatever that is, the Medal of Freedom or something like that.
Yeah.
So I guess he wants to.
Well, he does a lot of charitable and other things, so I guess it's warranted.
Staying on the topic of President Trump, some very interesting things happened over the last several days with his commentary about the Fed. You know, he's been all over the Fed, right? He's been really trying his best to do what
manipulate
he can.
Manipulate the Fed.
Yes, that is correct. One of the things he talked about this week was he said, he tweeted this, if the Fed did not raise interest rates, the market would be 5 to 10,000 points higher, and GDP would be north of 4%. And then Kudlow comes out and says that with President Trump's recent picks for the Fed, Kane and Moore, Kane is wholly unqualified, and Moore I would say the same thing, but also he's a political hack. And all he wants to do is reduce rates by 50 basis points. Like, people say what they think Trump wants to hear so they can get some kind of position.
Well, that's one way of doing things.
Yeah. He says, Trump said, if the Fed had done their job properly, which it has not, the stock market would be up and we'd have no inflation and all this stuff. Quantitative tightening was a killer. Should have done the exact opposite, he said. Referring to the Fed's money withdrawal process. So I would tend to agree if the Fed was still pumping in all of the, the record stimulus that they were doing and didn't raise interest rates, it is possible that the markets would be a lot higher. But at what risk? That's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, I agree.
So I don't know. Not sure what he's doing there, what the point is. Maybe he's trying to deflect the fact that we're not going higher and higher at this point, but they're just stirring the pot with the Fed. All the Fed walkers are coming out and talking about, we're not near the inflation target. We're doing fine, and we can be patient. They just keep on coming out over, like beating a drum, over and over and over again. Same thing. It's a little annoying. It's a lot annoying. Netflix. Netflix beats by 6 cents, but guides down on subscribers. They said that Disney will not be impacting meaningfully as Disney comes out with their $6.99 offering for streaming service due in, I think, November.
Would that have no impact?
Because that's what they said. Of course it's not going to have an impact. They can say that. They can say whatever they want.
That's what they did. They said whatever they want.
Yeah. Stock dropped
about 8%. Definitely have an impact. Of course. It's not going to, I don't know how much of an impact, but if Disney can keep the price down, even though I think $6.99 is too high. I think $4.99 would do the trick.
Well, the question is where are they going to pull their content from so that it can be exclusive to the Disney stream? That's another issue, right? They're going to want to, if you can get it other places, if I have a cable subscription package and I have various channels and I can get Disney, because there is the Disney channel out there, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, this isn't for you.
No, probably not. Although I enjoy a Disney film every now and then.
I think they expect to bank on the Marvel movies.
But are they going to pull those from, are they not going to be on other premium channels anymore?
That's my guess.
Mm. So this will, there's been a lot of talk, and now this is out. There's been a lot of talk about, will this or won't this impact Netflix? And the Netflix bulls are all talking about how it will be incrementally small. People will actually add on. So now you have this skinny bundle and that skinny bundle, and then you have the other one, and now all of a sudden you're going to wrap this up. I mean, I'm not sure if they're going to push in ESPN in this also, or if that's going to be a separate deal.
Well, Disney would be smart to bundle ESPN.
Stocks at an all-time high.
ESPN, I mean Disney?
Yep.
Yeah, it's because of this. I think people's expectations may be a little much.
A little much.
Just, don't you think?
I think so. I think so. But the Disney bulls are just, they're out of control.
It might be a good short.
Yeah, I mean,
all Disney needs, when this sort of stock starts, it's like Boeing. These stocks go up and they go up and they're new highs and they keep going. And it's all based on some wishful thinking that the $6.95 bundle is going to be bought up by millions and millions of people, which I'm sure a few million will pick it up. But, all you need is one Avengers movie to fail right in the middle of the tentpole season. And boom, there goes the stock.
Done. Kibosh. What else do we got here? CSX UAL beat stocks higher. CSX all-time high. Have you noticed there has been a lot of talk lately about single payer and Medicare for all?
Yeah.
A lot of the Dems,
talking point for the Democrats.
Right. Which as a person that pays an exorbitant amount of money for my health care, I would like to see an alternative. I'm not quite sure that I want the government in on it.
Well, I don't know if the government's going to be any worse than your insurance company. That's the same kind of bureaucrat. First of all, it's not going to happen, so we might as well get over that idea. So you stop right there. But let's take a look at what's really going on here, which is that the Democrats have noticed that Bernie's ideas back when Hillary, you know, had him kicked out of the running, his ideas were very, very popular with the millennials and I guess now the Generation Z. Very popular. All his ideas, free education, free health care, you know, free. And so they've all stolen his platform. And this is one of the main elements of it. And so they're going to be, and it's only for one reason, is so they can get the youth vote to come out in 2020 and vote for them, even though they will not implement this. This is just a scam. Nobody's implement. You know, I had an argument with, well, I didn't have an argument, I had a discussion with a guy, a Bernie supporter at one of these rallies. I like to go to them if they're local and grab some signs. And I said, I thought Bernie was done. I mean, when he turned over his votes to said to, for people to vote for Hillary, he got lost the youth vote. And I don't know if he's going to be able to get it back because they wouldn't even vote for Hillary. And he knew that was a problem. And then I said, and all the Democrats have stolen all his entire platform. And his retort to that was, well, you know, for one thing, Bernie's the only guy who would try to push the platform through, which was a sincere answer. Because it's true. None of these other people are going to go for a single payer. It's just not going to happen. So it's nothing to worry about.
Well, one of the things that is happening and where the concern comes from is that if you've looked at any of the healthcare companies, for example, United Healthcare, Aetna, yeah, Cigna, dropping off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, this is after a record run when Obamacare came in, was supposed to cut costs for everybody.
Yeah.
And was supposed to curtail the hospitals and the doctors and all the, you know, all that, right? They made more money on this than anything, than ever before in such a short period of time. All-time highs in all these.
The problem is they know that they're at the end of the road.
They are at the end of the road. I mean, it's you know, UHC, you know, UnitedHealthcare, UNH is the symbol. You should look at those charts. I mean, this thing dropped like 4% today. The other ones dropped like 7%. And this is after the UnitedHealthcare came out with their earnings, but the I think it was the CFO or the CEO came out and started talking about his kind of ranting about this universal health care and this whole, you know, Medicare or single payer deal that was there, in a way recognizing that this is a concern of his.
I think it's concerned that he should be ousted. If he's seriously concerned about this, he's got a screw loose.
I mean, I think he's got a plan for it, don't you think?
He's got to put and you think he have a plan for it.
You would think.
Sell short.
It is. It's been really pretty ugly over the last several days. I mean, it's down probably 20% in the last couple of weeks. I have some clients who own some of the shares. Well, some they're not actually clients, but people I know that were asking me about this. And I said, you know, all I can tell you is that, you know, there are some strategies that you could do to protect yourself here, because they have some significant shares and a good amount of their net worth. And I said, let's kind of look at implementing some of this. And they never called back. So I guess they're just hiding and suffering now. This was like 2 weeks ago. Maybe they'll come out of the, maybe they're on vacation. I don't know. IBM earnings coming out. They beat EPS by 1 cent, but missed on revenues. How surprising.
Don't they always miss on revenues?
It seems that their revenues, they've been doing pretty good. I mean, their stock is up 50%, 45% this year. That's after.
Yeah, but isn't that because of buybacks?
It's because of buybacks and just they cratered it into December like everything else, and the stock just started ramping up. And also there is one good thing on the horizon for IBM, and that's their purchase of Red Hat. That was a good deal. Now, they paid too much for it, outrageously. They paid the tip-top price of where Red Hat was in historical reference. But this is a pretty good deal. This is going to, you know, get them into the area of services for open source.
Yeah.
I mean, Red Hat's a really good company, so maybe there's going to be some management shuffling around and management coming from, Red Hat.
Red Hat's definitely the company that led the way for this sort of business.
How great is it that a company can wrap itself around total open source and make billions of dollars doing it?
Yeah. I know.
Giveaway.
It's pretty phenomenal.
Freeware. and they make
that is what you call a well-managed operation or a good idea.
A really good idea. I know some people that work for Red Hat and some very good friends of mine, and let me tell you something. They make a bundle of money in the sales area. Very popular Linux-based software. Well, the dispute is over, it seems, between Qualcomm and Apple. This news broke at 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon today, maybe 3 o'clock. Qualcomm shares, I wrote this, Qualcomm shares were higher by 10% following the report of the settlement. Qualcomm ended up 23% up by the end of the day. So Qualcomm's going to be getting some kind of payment from Apple. And the company also reached a six-year license agreement effective April 1st, 2019, which included a two-year option to extend and a multi-year chipset supply agreement. So I guess they said, what the hell's, why are we fighting this? Why are we spending all this money with the lawyers? You got good stuff. Let's just kind of work together.
Well, Qualcomm's definitely leading the way in this area.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was good for both companies. I mean, it's enough of this stuff already, but we'll see what happens from there. Boeing. American Airlines is canceling or is extending its cancellations for the Boeing 737 MAX until August 19th, which means they're going to miss that whole summer, the big summer travel season.
Well, this is probably better.
Nothing good. I watched an interesting, I don't want to call it a documentary, but a 3 or 4 minute video today on the design.
Where they show the engine would be hitting the ground and all that. Yeah, I've seen that.
That was interesting. It's pretty good. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. I mean, it was really interesting. It seemed to me from when I watched that my takeaway was that obviously with the wrong sensor information and what it was feeding as you're climbing, as the plane was diving and these guys, pilots are trying to pull it up, they were fighting with it. Right? You know what I'm saying? They're trying to pull up, and as they pull up, it pushes it back down. They pull it back up, it pushes it back down, and then that's just it. I guess they were probably trying to pull it all the way back. There must have been something with a stick or something like that when they went into manual mode that still made them fight this whole deal. Very terrible. Very sad. Let's see here. Facebook. I'm pretty done with Facebook. I've been talking about it and I haven't done it yet about pulling my account. Not that that's going to do anything to them, but I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the whole social network part of it, the crap that I see on it, the stuff that you see over and over again. But you don't want to pull it because then you look like an antisocial jerk.
I don't know. Do I look like an antisocial jerk to you?
Well, let's pose that question to the chat room. Let's find out what they say about that. But a couple of things about Facebook. It was down again Sunday. This is the third time, I think, in the last however long that the site had major downs, offline. WhatsApp and Instagram also were problematic, but some lower amount.
This has got to stop. This is not good for them.
Yep. 100%. Let's see here. So far, I'm getting about 100% that you are antisocial.
Hey.
No. But the other thing that I found most interesting, full disclosure, I am short personally Facebook.
You're short in the game too. I think it's already mentioned in there.
Yeah, I'm about 8% on it, but I'm holding to my guns. Last time I was short Facebook, it took me out at 220. I shorted it like 205. It took me out 220. Then it dropped down to like 140, and I was really aggravated. So now,
it's just a grudge stock.
Now I'm on tilt. But Facebook, I thought this was really interesting. It's old news, but it just really goes to show what this is all about. It seems that Zuckerberg was using user data as, I guess, a pawn in negotiating some of the deals that he did between 2011 and 2015, sharing some of this data, giving some of this stuff away.
Yeah, he thought it was a great idea.
It's evil.
Well, here's what I'm going to – I'm this is dubious assertion you just made. But here's what I think of the problem with shorting Facebook is, if you're thinking about it. Well, you already did it. Is that you're going to be screwed.
Oh.
Because at some point, and I think this will happen in the next 6 months, Facebook will, and Zuckerberg, of course, he owns most of the stock, so he can do whatever he wants. He will either resign or quit or give up or do something. That announcement is going to send the stock skyrocketing, and you're going to get burned.
Mm. Well, thanks for putting that in my ear.
But, by the way, there's your short, because I think Zuckerberg is the guy who makes Facebook work, and once he leaves, it's going to be the situation that happened at Apple when Steve Jobs first left. Actually, the real distress happened at Apple in the early days when Scully quit, because when Jobs quit, I think the company was like a – I forgot how many. It was 10 – the sales were 10x more under Scully than under Jobs. Mm-hmm. And when Scully left – under duress, minor issues for one quarter or two, the stock started to sneak down, then it got down to like $7. I mean, this is what's going to happen with Facebook if they get rid of Zuckerberg. It's going to skyrocket, and all the shorts are going to be burned, and it's going to stabilize for a little while, and then people are going to come to a realization it's going to take probably 6 months for that to happen, and then it's going to start to swing down. There you go. Now you're talking.
From everything that I've seen about, heard about, read about, watched about Zuckerberg, he does not seem like a guy that's going to give up on this company no matter what, even if he takes it down.
I would say that if you want to stick with that theory, then you'll feel more comfortable as a short.
Oh. We'll see what happens. But
I'm not going to disagree with that. It looks like it to me, too. But most people can't. He's got so much money. It's like all he needs is one hair up his ass about, you know, I've got a better idea.
Oh.
And then he walks and their stock skyrockets. All the shorts are burned. And then he goes off to his better idea. And once you actually give him about a year and he comes up with something better, then Facebook is toast. But we'll see. Maybe none of this is just all in my imagination. Could I wouldn't be. Play this.
Could be.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Back to food for a second here. Cuba. Seems that there's a big food problem and shortage in Cuba with food. And Cuban leaders have trying to get creative.
So I don't know how there can be a food shortage in Cuba. That place is a garden island.
I think it's the crop there. But it's just a poor. It's so poor there. Have you been there?
Not yet.
It's so poor. I've been there. Let's put it this way: that the rubble has rubble. I've been. You know, you could walk down the streets and a half built or a half torn down building is the norm.
Yeah, I understand that sort of thing, but it doesn't mean you can't grow a tomato.
Yeah, it's definitely an island.
Can't have a cow roaming around. Right. I mean,
yeah. Well, they seem that there's some kind of a food shortage, and maybe it has to do with their being cut off from the rest of the world to a degree. Now they're proposing ostrich and rodent farms as an answer.
Oh. Yep. Where'd you get that one? That's a good story.
Yeah.
Rodents. Let's grow some rats and eat them.
Yeah, some big ones. So officials are touting the potential of the flightless African bird and the hatui, a rodent native to Cuba that can weigh up to 19 pounds. Ugh, I can't even stand. I mean, first of all, let me ask you a question. Nobody likes rats and mice and all that, right? It's kind of creepy. But people think squirrels are really pretty. And cute.
I know. They're just the same thing with fur, with a tail.
With a furry tail. It's a mouse with a furry tail.
Yeah.
If you saw.
But they usually don't come in your house.
I understand
that. I don't know anyone who's had a squirrel infestation in their house.
They do that. They'll go into the roof up there and do that. But
maybe.
Anyway, so this hatui, somebody's got to look that up, what this thing looks
like. So hutia, I think is what
hutia?
It's called.
Oh, 19-pound rodent.
Yeah, they have this. They have a similar large rodent in Brazil. In fact, there's some park that's just infested with them, and it's fenced off, and you can go in there and hang out with these things.
Oh.
It's a huge rat.
Oh. Just nauseating. Although it could be on one of my menu items.
Yeah, it'll be on your menu next.
It could be. It's possible.
Next time.
It's possible. Well, talk about some people are pretty pissed off. Twitter has been urged to suspend Donald Trump after he accused He was accused of sharing propaganda videos trafficking in hate speech over the Omar attack. This whole Omar thing, this congressperson who is...
Seems that the conservatives are preoccupied with her.
Well, that's good to get away from, AOC for a little while.
Yeah, well, they're preoccupied with her, too.
Omar's
number one on the target list.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to take Trump off. It's crazy.
I mean, he could qualify for some hate speech in there. It is possible.
Just forever, since he first got this account. But you can't – it's just they have leeway. You have to give certain people leeway, not to mention that they could tell the FTC to fold your company. I mean, there's all kinds of implications. No, it's dumb.
You know, there's got to be a
Forget
lot
it.
Of
– Trump's going to be on Twitter. It's part of the new American culture.
You gotta wonder how much just people. It must be people that are just apoplectic at Twitter with all this stuff. I mean, the amount of
Because Twitter's loaded. It's a San Francisco company. They're right downtown on Market Street. They are all raving lunatic liberals. The irony of this, and I will say this because it's a fact, is that these lunatic liberals are so. They're just like they're clueless. They're the ones who took the porta potties out of the whole area in San Francisco where the homeless used to crap. And because Twitter says they were unsightly. So they took the porta potties out. This is a few years ago. And that's what began the poop problem in San Francisco where people are crapping on the street. So instead of the unsightly porta potties all over the place, they have now poop on the front, of the when you leave. Twitter's offices, the chances of stepping in poop are quite high because it's not in a really what I would call a fine district.
And they wouldn't and dare say they wouldn't consider putting back the porta potties.
I don't know what happened to that idea, but I guess not. It's too late now. This is freedom, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. More losses ahead. Uber Technologies has decided it will seek out about $10 billion worth of stock in its initial public offering. And they're going to be coming out Thursday. The public registration will come out Thursday. So it will be one of the largest IPOs of all time and the largest since Alibaba in 2014. And this is on the heels of Lyft.
This has got to be the mark of insanity. Could be the end of the market.
Oh.
Don't you think? I mean, don't you think this is nuts? This company has no prospect of ever making money. It's going to be the largest IPO ever.
Mm-hmm. But maybe they can make money one day.
How?
Because that's what they're going to hope. That's what everybody's going to think. Maybe.
Yeah, but I don't mind the maybe part if someone would explain to me how.
If they continue doing raising their prices. They could go out and possibly raise their prices. They can do a lot more to enhance the technology somehow. I don't know how. They can, I don't know. I if they can't make money at this point, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. The taxi business didn't run in this much. Yes, it's more, the prices started out a lot lower than the taxis, right? We know that. But at the same time, their technology really helped them. The way that they went about and the efficiency of the Uber technology compared to taxis was a no-brainer.
But that's all been caught up with.
It has, but what I'm saying is when taxis were doing it and you had Louis DePalma giving out, the rides and call into the dispatchers.
Yeah, those days are over.
But they were making money back then.
Yeah, I guess so.
And the past, really.
Well, here's another thing that bugs me about this IPO.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to invest in. Unless you guarantee me, maybe it'll do well in the first couple of days. But I don't like the idea of a company that's based on a blatant lie.
What you mean about them making
this big company began with a so did Lyft with the concept, the bogus of ride sharing. Oh, this is not a taxi company. I happened to just coincidentally be driving around and I thought I'd pick somebody up because I'm part of this app and I'm not going to share. because I'm going to San Francisco, so I'm going to share a ride with someone. That's what it started off as. That's what right. the taxi cabs had trouble fighting against. But it wasn't ride sharing. It was a scam. And so now I'm going to invest in this company that whose beginnings are based on a lie.
Plenty of companies out there like that, though. I mean, you had Herbalife that was a multi-level marketing deal that was, you know, set up that it wasn't, but it was, and it made all sorts of money.
Well, I'm not saying it can't make money as a bullcrap artist, but I don't feel comfortable investing in something like that.
I would agree. I mean, I wouldn't get near. There's no way we'd put money into that. Now it's at, let's see, it came public at 72, and then it went to 88.
What happened to the stocks that used to go public at 15?
No.
When I was a kid.
Yeah. There's a few that have recently come out. There was one this week. I think it's called Jumai. Somebody came out this week at 15 and ended up going to 45.
Well, that's more like it. That's the good old days.
Yeah. Pinterest is going public. I think they're going to be pricing somewhere in the $15 range or something.
I don't know. Where's the money in Pinterest?
Well, I don't even understand the whole thing. You put up a picture. And then what? It's like, oh, I like that picture. Okay. And
it's a website for collectors of pictures.
But you could also sell stuff that way. I mean, that's the whole point of all this,
right?
Yes.
I don't know who. I've never bought anything from Pinterest. I bought stuff from Etsy. I think that operation is probably solid and is not dishonest.
Etsy is publicly traded.
Yeah. And what is the price
on Etsy? Done very well. I don't have that on. I have it on the other computer over there. I can look.
My daughter sells stuff on Etsy.
Let's see. ETSY price.
Etsy may be a good investment.
We've had that actually in our portfolio. It's at $66.
Yeah.
Let's see. Year to date, it's went from 50 to $60. Historically, it came IPO'd at about 25 or something like that, dipped down to about $7 in 2016. And then starting in 2018, just started ramping up dramatically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pinterest. Here's Pinterest.
So Etsy's a legitimate company. And they do an honest business. They're not scamming anybody. They're not bull crap artists, you know, saying, oh, ride sharing or anything like that.
I mean, isn't Pinterest like an Instagram for the web? Well, you could do it on your
own. Not the way I see it, because when you go to Pinterest, you get a whole page of stuff from people who have collected like either pictures of train memorabilia, for example, which I've been to those pages, obviously, being a train guy. There's a lot of borderline porn, but not the kind of really gross porn that you used to find on Tumblr.
That would have been something that could have been gone public and there would have been some money in that.
Yeah, well, they got bought up by Yahoo and then for whatever reason. And then it just kind of languished and now it's kind of on the skids. Mm.
Anyway, so those are going to be coming public this week. A few more. It's big IPO season right now. There was, again, concern that the IPOs were going to suck some of the money out of the markets and kind of move towards the IPOs. That didn't seem to happen, though. But we have an Elon Musk update. He tweeted out another Tesla forecast right in the face of the SEC. Bam! You know, he's not supposed to be doing that, saying, you know, Tesla's, you know, something to the effect of, you know, Tesla, he's not supposed to say material statements that are not known other places about the company. For example, if he says, oh yeah, well, it looks like we're going to hit our numbers this quarter. You know, the SEC says, you know, not supposed to.
Doesn't he use the argument, and I think it might be usable, that he is the source of the information and that he is not, when he says it, that's the minute it becomes public?
I guess the problem is his history has been that his information has not been exactly accurate.
Well, does everybody who makes an announcement about their stock or about the market or gives a prediction like you just talked about Netflix, that's not – and then they sandbag the audience and then next thing you know they make a lot of money like Microsoft used to do for years and years and years. How is that accurate?
It's not. You mean when they come down on values or like what maybe Netflix did?
Yeah, just this normal kind of bull crap these guys pull.
I guess it's just that the way he does it, and not to mention that he came right into the face of the SEC and called them the short sellers something committee.
Yeah, the short
seller enhancement committee or something.
Yeah. Short seller enhancement committee. Like that was it.
So, I mean,
something like that.
So the thing is, I mean, probably because he did that, he's not necessarily in the full grace of the SEC. And they put some, and then with his other announcements that he made that were inaccurate, and they were not fully, and then he was under a clampdown. So, anyway, last thing on the section of the show is we're going to see the report from, we're going to see the Mueller report on Thursday.
Yeah, supposedly.
Supposedly. We see the Mueller report on Thursday. Now CNN and all these guys are all a flutter about, a lot of people at the White House and people associated are going to be really upset because they're fearing that Trump is going to retaliate if their comments were negative on the way he does things and talking about him behind his back. And it's honestly, this is the most childish group of people I've ever encountered. What has happened? Seriously, what has happened to reality?
I don't know.
It's like if you have, when you were a kid, and, you know, some, when I was in New York, it's like
makes podcasting look good.
It really looked good. When I was a kid, you liked, when I was in New York, we you were either a Met fan or a Yankee fan. You were the Jet fan or a Giant fan. And right. The whole time, if you were a Jet fan, you were just dissing on the Yankees, or, you know.
Yeah, this is New York style. And you have to remember, Trump is from Queens. So he would embody the New York style and pass it on to the culture as a whole. Makes nothing but sense to me.
It's so childish, though. It's like they never grew up in a CNN. No,
it's like it goes right back into the mid, in outside of New York, that the same thing was exhibited by Chevy versus Ford kids in high school. You know, you had a Chevy or you had a Ford and the other car was crap.
Yeah. And it's like this team, it's this incredible team rivalry that is overtaking politics in the news. Listen, I'll tell you, I watch basically four channels, CNBC. I watch that just for some information here and there. I watch Bloomberg, which is just information only. Not a lot of opinion, but there is some. CNN and Fox. And I use CNN and Fox and try to come somewhere in between where they are to get any sense of reality there. However,
yeah, I can't watch CNN. It's just I don't see
it. It's gone off the rails.
CNN International is great because it has actual news. The rest of it's just a bunch of people yelling and screaming.
It's gone off the rails. CNN they're off the rails. They're hysterical. They're all hysterical.
Yeah, they're literally hysterical.
Yeah, they're hysterical. You know, I don't remember ever seeing any news that is flooded with one person's name, whether it's the president or somebody else, on a constant basis. It's like the all Trump channel.
Yeah, all and, Trump channel.
And this is what the downfall of the Democrats were in 2016.
Yeah. They did so much focus on Trump that they, if you didn't know who he was before the election, you knew by the election. And, you know, it's no publicity is bad publicity. They gave him $2 or $3 billion by some calculations worth of free publicity during the campaign. And they're doing it again.
They're doing it again. And then they come out with the other thing they're doing is we talked about this before, but their town hall meetings that are obviously scripted. And obviously, you know, where they hand out questions and they're like, good question. I'm glad you asked that question. Let me tell you about that, Giselle. You know, we're going to blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, the next person is the same thing and they take a little pause. You know, here's the question. And the question is asked, boy, that's a great question.
I can't even watch one of those things. It's just so bogus.
Such a great question. Thank you. Thank you for caring. You know, it's just the stupidest thing. It's so ridiculous. So ridiculous. I mean, on the other hand, you have some people like some of the later night guys and some of the people that are just totally, you know, absolutely 100%, you know, sticking by Trump no matter what happens. You got that also. But
who's this?
What's his face? Sean, not Sean. Sean Hannity.
Oh, Sean Hannity. But yeah. He's just he's a tub thumper for the Republicans, yeah. Whoever's in.
Yeah.
So, you did the same thing with Bush.
Yep. All right, let's get on, move on here. Let's see here. We announced our winner for the Close to the Pin last week. Oh, donations. Donations, donations, donations. We are out of medium shirts officially. As a matter of fact, I had one medium shirt left. And the winner of the last close to the pin, he wanted a medium. And I'm like, listen, yeah. I can't send a medium. I don't have any.
There's all the fat guys.
Yeah. So I said, I have one medium. And the medium I had was one of the shirts they used to test all the pens.
Oh, no.
So I said to him, listen, I'm just going to tell you. Either you can have a large. Here's a large. It looks good. Or here, I sent him a picture. Here's the medium. It's got all my scribbling on and all the good. He says, absolutely, I want that medium with all the test pens on it.
It's a collector's item.
I said, okay. All right, I'll send it. So I sent it off.
Wow.
Gotta love it. Anyway, the point is that, you know, between all things and between all of the work that we do on a regular basis coming in, hella high water, getting these new mixers, all the different things that we do on a weekly basis.
Yeah, you're in the hole.
Yeah. I gotta get that other mixer that's coming hopefully soon, that new Rodecaster. I got an order in that's going to be, I'm one of the first.
You'll be the first guy in the team that's got a Rodecaster.
Yep. So please do me a favor, go over to DH Unplugged and click on the donate button. If you haven't done so in a while, do it twice because it feels good and it's really good for the soul. It is helpful to us and how it keeps us going. If in fact you haven't done so in the past, this is the time to do it right now because, well, you know, you don't want to be shamed by us. And the fact is we don't want you to feel bad like you know, you're leeching on us and just taking from us. You got to participate both ways, don't you think, John?
Absolutely. You nailed it.
Yep. Let's see. Well, you mentioned the Trivago dude. I thought this was classic move. Last week, all these executives from all the different banks went to testify in front of Congress.
Yeah, I missed that hearing.
I didn't really see it either, but I knew it was happening. There was nothing really exciting. I didn't figure going on because the banks are the banks. But I figured a few things. Number one, they probably all flew coach to get there. I'm assuming this because, you know, you didn't want that question coming up like they did.
Oh, right. That they'd like to pull that stunt. Yeah. How did you get here?
Yeah, private
did
jet.
You fly first class?
Yeah, right. I'm sure somebody took Wells Fargo probably took a bus. A greyhound, just so
took
they could
a greyhound.
But a day before he was to testify before Congress, Bank of America's chief executive Brian Moynihan comes out, and he said that he's going to be upping the minimum wage for all employees of the bank, and they're going to be having the lowest person earning $17, and starting in May, $20. In May, they're going to have $17, and in 2 years, $20 per hour.
Yeah.
Nice move.
Yeah, it was very slick.
Yeah.
I agree.
AOC has quit Facebook.
She's sick of it.
Yep. She's called it a public health risk. It's a public health risk. She's out.
Well, yeah, it's a public health risk if you sit there on Facebook all day.
I know people that every time I'll tweet something, they are immediately replying and putting like these little GIFs up or these little... There's people, and I look at their feed, and they're constantly like, they must spend all hours of all the days on Twitter just trying to respond to people. It's crazy. People get crazy with this stuff. Last week, before we get to the stocks, I'll mention last week we talked about this just for a moment, but we didn't talk about the entire discussion. I thought this was really interesting. So, you know, Michael Landon from Little House on the Prairie.
Right.
So he died like 30 years ago. Which I thought was pretty amazing. And he was pretty young. He was 54 years old. He died of pancreatic cancer. And he was on Little House on the Prairie for 9 years. What was interesting, what they just seemingly, I guess, just found out, was that the filming of this was 15 miles away from the Santa Susana Nuclear Laboratory. This is on a...
Well, that's a Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Hundreds of so local, he was irradiated.
Yeah. Well, hundreds of local residents started suffering from cancer. They discovered this had been the site of the worst radioactive disaster in U.S. history, and that years of contamination prompted a cancer epidemic. Studies have concluded that this was responsible for up to 2,000 cancer-related deaths and led to a 60% increase in cancer, such as lung, bladder, kidney, liver, blood, lymph node, upper digestive tract, and thyroid cancers. So now they're placing his potential death on the proximity to this particular nuclear lab. I never heard of this before. Did you?
No, I never know. It's just brand new out of the blue.
Santa Susana Nuclear Lab. And there was a terrible nuclear accident there. Again, news to me. I never heard of this before.
Just carelessness.
Yeah. So we talked about donations. We talked about that. Let's go to the tape. Let me get my little piece of paper out here. Go over to the stocks. Take a look at the stocks here. This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on this show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk along with the risk of loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation because we assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, John C. Dvorak, may invest in any of the securities mentioned. And we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock pick section. And you can go over to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discussed in the segment, along with the performance and the information from the date discussed, as well as additional important disclosures. That's over on DH Unplugged. You can go just click on that button. And what's neat about it is it's updating all the time. You're always seeing right from, I actually programmed an export feature from a live, from my TradeStation system. It automatically exports all of this information to a CSV, gets reformatted, and it gets tagged from the website, talks to each other. So it's constantly updating the website with all the actual performance and information about the stocks that we have talked about.
Fascinating.
I think so. That was a lot of work, but that was kind of cool. Yes, it is the second half of the show for those of you asking. It's really the second 10% at this point. Why don't you take a look at the stocks?
Well, we have not much. We have a few reds that have shown up. One got kicked off. That was yours, I believe, Tilray.
Yeah, what a disaster that is.
Yeah. Well, it's probably still a good stock somewhere along its history. Medtronic has turned south on me, which was a good one, and it's now it looks like dead money. DSP Group looks good. Church and Dwight, your pick is just a little better. And then the hot one is Smartsheet Short.
I think Smartsheet's about to be kicked right about here, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's up 17%, so if it gets kicked, it gets kicked. Walgreens is starting to move, which is a plus. My Aerojet Rocketdyne is not doing anything.
I like the name.
Aerojet Rocketdyne.
Yeah.
So they're down 1.73%, and it's a long. I'm going to go short Netflix.
You are? So it's just four.
Yeah,
so
why not?
What day is it? 16th, so it'll be 17th. 19, I got to code this all in here, 452, enter. All right, Netflix, NFLX. And what's your thesis?
I think that they're what you talked about in today's show is a good example. Their outlook is grim, and Disney.
Grim.
The same thing jerking Disney up to this high heights is going to pull down Netflix.
Grim outlook in Disney. Or Grom. It's really grim, though. Grim outlook in Disney. You're short. This is a JCD pick. I like that pick, actually. Okay. I don't have anything because we're in the midst of earnings season. To be honest with you, I've been really busy writing up my quarterly newsletter, which we'll have up on the website this week on thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Let's see here. You listen to Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak on the No Agenda Show each Thursday and Sunday at 12 sharp in the afternoon. It's
Eastern time.
Yeah, it's Eastern time. And where you'll get your fill of everything that you need to know about. You know, we talk about some of the things here about they get down deep and dirty. They talk about it, just deconstruct it, pull it apart, put it back together. And by the time it's done, you really understand what is actually going on rather than what is said to be going on. Does that accurately describe?
I think that's a very good description. I could cut that out and use it as an ad.
Ah, there you go. So, it's good stuff. It's really good. It's entertaining. Not to mention all the clips and the jingles and the artwork and all the good stuff that they do on that show. They don't give away shirts like us. Do you even have shirts?
No, we don't. We avoided that like the plague.
Yeah. But nonetheless.
But we're giving them away as a contest thing. We don't have contests on the other show.
Ah. Gotcha.
And but it's the selling. If you all want to sell T-shirts, there are some people that are in the business of selling T-shirts that can actually do well. But it's one of these things, if you're not in that business, you don't have core competency, how to do it right, you're just wasting money and time, and you lose money. It's terrible.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, until next week, happy Passover for all of those that are celebrating the holiday. Starts at sundown on Friday evening this week, and it's 8 days of no bread, no leavened bread. And we do
why?
Because it seems that Moses walked through the desert in his haste to get away from the Pharaoh. He couldn't have time to allow for the bread to rise. Therefore, they took that and made a holiday out of it. Not to mention, if you watch the Ten Commandments, that's the story of Passover with all the plagues.
Well, I'll just ask another simple question.
Yeah.
If he could have leavened bread
yeah.
on the fly,
yeah.
would he have eaten it?
I would think so. The whole yeah. point wasn't that he said, oh, I'm not eating leavened bread. It was this idea that, listen.
Well, okay, so it's like me. I'm not being critical here, but it's like me saying, oh, you know, I don't want a Ferrari.
Right, and if we had a religion called Dvorakism, now it would be part
Ferraris
of the thing.
Ferraris would be out.
Can't have a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's how it is.
Okay, I just wanted to get that straight.
Yep. All right, I'll talk to you again next week.
Okay. All right, bye. See you then.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.